Perek Ches Mishnah Gimel until Perek Ches Mishnah Vav. We're in the middle of discussing the five things which someone who damages another person needs to pay for. Nezek, the actual damage, Tsa'ar, the pain which he caused him, Ripui, the medical needs, the medical expenses, B'sheves, that's the amount of money he's losing by not working, and B'shes, which is paying him for the embarrassment which he caused him. So in this Mishnah we come to a concept which we've had a couple of times already in the Masechta, which is Kim Le B'Jabomine. Again, kim le b'drabomine. That means that if someone does something for which he's chayav two punishments, he only receives the harsher punishment. However, as we've seen already, that only applies if the harsher punishment is given by Beis Din. For example, the death penalty at the hands of the Beis Din. But if the harsher punishment is something like kores, which is when someone dies earlier, or his children die, that's given by Hashem. The Beis Din don't do anything to him, and therefore we don't apply the rule of kim le b'drabomine. Kim le b'drabomine only applies if both punishments are given by Beis Din. So the mission tells us, hamakes ov v'simai, someone who hits his father or his mother, v'lo yosamem chabura, but he didn't make a wound on their body. The halacha is that if someone makes a wound on their parent's body, v'chayv misa, they get the death penalty from the Beis Din. But here, since he didn't actually wound him, he won't get that punishment, and therefore we're going to say that he'll be obligated to pay for the damages, because there's no harsher punishment here. Second case, v'achil b'chavir b'makapurim, or someone who injures his friend on Yom Kippur. Wounding someone is breaking Yom Tov, as well as breaking a halacha of wounding someone. You're also breaking Yom Tov by doing that. And the punishment for breaking Yom Kippur is koris. And like we said before, the rule of kim le b'drabomine only applies to Beis Din punishment, and not to Karis, and therefore Chayv Bechulon, he'll be obligated to pay all the damages, all the five payments for the damage, because there's no harsher punishment here which is given by Beis Din. The truth is, in the second case of Yom Kippur, wounding someone in Yom Kippur, it is possible that he won't get Karis, but he'll get Malkus. If someone warned him that if you do this, you'll receive Malkus, then the Beis Din have a right to give him Malkus. In fact, pretty much anything which one is Chayv Karis for, if he was warned not to do it, and he was also warned that if he does it, he'll get Malkus, then he gets Malkus for that. Now, Malkus is given by Beis Din. Malkus is lashes when the Beis Din hit the person, and that is given by Beis Din. So the question is, if this person is getting a harsher punishment from Beis Din, then he shouldn't have to pay. So why does the Mishnah say you do have to pay? So the Mefarshim explain that really whenever someone injures someone else, he should get Malkus, and Malkus only. He should get lashed, and because he's getting lashed, he shouldn't have to pay. However, that would mean that no one would ever get paid for the damage done to them. And therefore, we have compassion on the person who is injured, and we want him to be paid. And therefore, just like usually when someone wounds someone, we say he should get paid instead of just getting lashed, instead of the other person getting lashed. So too, if he transgresses Yom Kippur and should be lashed for that, we say he should pay again in order to compensate for the person who got damaged. Says the Mishnah, Hachil Be'ed Ivri, someone who injures a Jewish servant. Chai B'chulon, he's obligated to pay for all the damages. Again, all the five payments for the damage. Chusman HaSheves, except for the payment which one pays for the lack of employment. Bezman Shushaloi, in a situation where the Eved was his own. Because obviously, who's the one losing out by the Eved not being able to work? The owner. So if the owner is the one who damaged him, he won't need to pay himself, as it were, for the lack of employment. Hachil Be'ed Kanan Shalachirim, someone who injures a non-Jewish slave which belongs to someone else. Chai B'chulon, he is obligated to pay all five payments, and the payments would go to the owner of the slave, because everything owned by a non-Jewish slave is automatically owned by its owner. Rabbi Huda says, there's one exception to this, Ein Lavan B'Shes. The payment of embarrassment does not apply to servants, and therefore he'll only have to pay four of the payments, but not the payment for embarrassment. Now Rabbi Huda learns from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, when it's talking about someone injuring someone else, it says, Ish v'ochiv, a man and his brother, meaning it's equating the two people. Someone injures someone who's the same as him. He's got the same status as him, they can intermarry. That obviously doesn't apply to a non-Jewish slave because he's not really part of the Jewish people. And therefore, since that Pasuk is talking about the payment of b'shes, of embarrassment, so that payment is excluded when it comes to a non-Jewish slave. Rishon Dalet, we've mentioned previously that when it comes to a chirish shoyte v'katan, a deaf and dumb person, a mad person, and a child, they haven't really got responsibility over what they own. And therefore, if their animals do damage, they'll be exempt from paying. And the reason for this basically is, as we said, the obligation to pay for damage is based on the fact that you're obligated to watch over it. That's a responsibility. So someone who's not responsible and can't be responsible for that is not obligated to pay for the damage caused. So the Mishnah says, Chay should have gotten a deaf and dumb person, a mad person, a child, Puki oson ra. Encountering them is bad, meaning if you have a sort of fight with them, then it's a disadvantage for you. Why? Because Achil Bahen Chayev. Someone who does damage to them, he injures them, is obligated to pay the payments for the damage. However, if they do damage to other people, they're not responsible for their actions, and therefore Pturin, they'll be exempt from paying because they can't really receive a punishment for something which they couldn't have been responsible over. Similarly, a slave and the woman, if you encounter them in a fight, it's bad for you. Why? Because someone who injures them will be obligated to pay for the damages. However, if they damage you, if they wound you, all this is talking about one person wounding another person, Pturin, they'll be exempt. The reason for that is because they don't own any money. Whatever a woman woman or a slave owns is actually in reality owned by the husband or the owner, and therefore they haven't got money to pay, and therefore they're exempt. However, they do need to pay, or they'll possibly need to pay after a while. Why? Because if the woman gets divorced, or nishtachar, however, the slave is freed, now they can own money. And as soon as they get money, they're obligated to pay for the damages which they caused, even if they caused the damage when they didn't have money, now they have money. And therefore, they'll have to pay for all the previous damages which they caused. Mishnah Hey. This Mishnah is basically a contrast to Mishnah Gimel, and once again discussing kim le b'jabamine, which means we only give someone the harsher punishment if he's chayv two punishments. And again, the condition to use this rule is if both punishments are based in punishments. So hamak of v'imay, someone who hits his father or mother v'also b'mchaber, and he does wound them, and therefore be chayv miso with the based in v'achil v'chaver b'shabbos, or someone who injures his friend on Shabbos, the punishment for breaking Shabbos, unlike Yom Kippur, the punishment for breaking Shabbos is actually misas based in. The based in kill the person, and therefore potter mekulon, will be exempt from paying all the five payments for the damage of Neshu Dinam and Afshay, because he is judged by his life, meaning he is killed by Beis Din, and he only gets the harsher punishment. Again, what's the rule? Kimle bidrabo mine. Next in of the Mishnah says the Mishnah v'achil be'eved kanani shaloi. Someone who injures his own non-Jewish slave, potter mekulon, he's exempt from paying all the payments. Why? Because whatever the slave owns, he owns. So he'll just pay himself, and therefore he's exempt from paying if the non-Jewish slave belongs to him. Mishnah Vav. When it comes to the payment of Boishes, the embarrassment which she caused him, it really has to be judged by each situation. However, this Mishnah will tell us that in certain scenarios where the main payment is for the Boishes, meaning there wasn't a lot of damage done, so the main payment which the person is paying is for the embarrassment, there are fixed amounts which he needs to give. And later on in the Mishnah, we'll have a machlokes in what type of person does this amount apply. But for now, says the Mishnah, someone who punches his friend, either on the back of his neck or his ear, different ways of understanding it, he has to give him a sela, that's a type of, it's an amount of money. And we're going to understand the Mishnah as referring just to the payment of Boishes. But for the other payments, such as Sheves, the unemployment, and the other ones we mentioned, he will still have to pay for those. This fixed amount specifically applies and is talking about the payment of Boishes. He says it's a much larger amount, which is a moneh, which is actually 200 times more than a seller. So it seems to be a very big machlekas over here. Story. If he slaps him on the cheek, that's much more embarrassing than a punch, and therefore, no name Messiah Zuz, he has to give him 200 Zuz, which is double a moneh. A moneh is 100 Zuz. This is 200 Zuz. La'acha yodo, if he slaps him with the back of his hand, that's even more embarrassing. Nosele Agrameh says he has to give him 400 Zuz. And again, this is specifically referring to the payment of Boishes, but I'll still have to pay other money for the other payments. Soram Bo'ozno. If he pulled his ear, or Tolash B'Sa'oro, he pulled out his hair, Rokak V'Gya B'Rukoi, or he spat at him and the spit reached him, it went onto him. Hever Talisa M'Menu, if he took off his cloak, meaning he didn't take off all his clothes, he took off his outer garment. Poro Sho'isha Bashuk, or if he uncovered a woman's hair in the marketplace. The custom was for all the women in those days to cover their hair, even if they weren't married. So it was very embarrassing. Nosin Abramei Zuz would have to give 400 Zuz. And now we're going to have a machlokes about who exactly all these payments refer to. According to the Tanakhama, Zeh HaKlal, this is the rule. Hakol Lefi Chavodo, it all depends on his honor, on his prestige, meaning all the payments we mentioned are only for the most prominent person, someone who's very well respected. But for a lower class citizen, you'd have to pay less. However, Omer Akiva, Akiva said, no, anim shabi Yisrael, even the poorest people in Yisrael, we look at them as if they are free people with very good ancestry, a good family, a good status, just that they've lost their money, but really their status is high. Why? Shame b'nei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. They're the children of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, who are obviously of the highest stature, and what Rabbi Akiva is trying to say is that these payments would apply to everyone. Now, even though we said in the first Mishnah of this Perek that we measure the payment of Boishes based on who they are, Rabbi Akiva's opinion is that it's really impossible to tell. You can have someone very wealthy who doesn't really care about being embarrassed, whereas someone very poor who does care a lot. And therefore, we give a universal payment for everybody, and we look at all of them as very prominent people. So there was a story which supports Rabbi Akiva's opinion, that Rabbi Akiva was consistent with his opinion. Why? Because Be'echad Sheparu Sheisha Bashuk, there was a certain person who uncovered a woman's hair in the marketplace, and remember, how much did you have to pay for that? 400 zuz. And Bosifing Rabbi Akiva, the woman came to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva obligated this man to pay her 400 zuz. On my loy, the person said to Rabbi Akiva, Rebbe, my teacher, ten his money, give me some time in order to pay the money. Rosalind's money said, fine, I'll give you the time. Shimro imedital pesachatzera. He waited for her until she was standing by the entrance of her courtyard. She came outside the house. Veshovai sakad foneho, and he broke a little jug of oil in front of her. Uvoik isar shemen. There was only an isar, which is a measurement, a very small measurement of oil in that jug. And now it was on the floor. An isar is an amount of money. So it means there was enough oil which one could buy with an isar, which again is a very small amount. And all of a sudden, gilsu es resha. She uncovered into her hair by herself. She was scooping out the oil in her hands and putting it, anointing it on her head. Now it's very clear that this woman does not really care about being embarrassed, especially about revealing her hair, because she did it herself. So he set up witnesses about her, meaning this person brought witnesses to Rabbi Akiva. He came to Rabbi Akiva, Amalei, he said to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi, my teacher, do I need to give 400 zuz to this woman? She clearly doesn't care about her embarrassment so much, and she's not a prominent person, so I should have to give her less than that. Amalei, Rabbi Akiva said to him, you haven't said anything. And that is like Rabbi Akiva's opinion, which we mentioned before, which was that even someone who is not so prominent and not so well respected, even to that person we have to give the highest payment. And Rabbi Akiva compares this to other halacha, so we have the same thing. Someone who wounds himself, even though he's not allowed to wound oneself, it's a prohibition for someone to cause pain to himself. It's learned from Nozir. It's when a Nozir makes a vow not to benefit from certain things like wine, the Torah calls it a sin. And the Gemara explains, why is it a sin? Because he's withholding something from himself. He's causing himself pain, as it were, and therefore that's a sin. So we see that you're not allowed to cause pain to yourself. However, Potter, if you do that, you're still exempt from any punishment. However, if someone else injures him, of course, chayovin, they're obligated. So we see, so to here, even though she herself embarrassed herself, she's exempt for that. But if someone else embarrasses her, of course they'll be obligated to pay. Similarly, someone who cuts down his fruit trees, even though he's not allowed to cut his fruit trees, that's bal tashchis. The original real bal tashchis is the prohibition to cut down fruit trees. However, if you do that, potter, you're exempt from paying anything. However, if other people cut down his fruit trees, of course chayovin, they're certainly obligated to pay, and therefore, just like with those scenarios, so too when it comes to boishes, for paying for embarrassment, even if someone would be willing to embarrass themselves, if someone else embarrasses them, they'll be obligated to pay, and according to Rabbi Akiva, they'll actually be obligated to pay the full amount which one would pay for a prominent person, even if this person is not so prominent and doesn't care about their embarrassment.